We could say so many things about Srila Prabhupada. But this year is particularly nice and memorable, as this being the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's establishing this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we just have a very, very special day today, a wonderful time to glorify Srila Prabhupada, to remember all of his accomplishments, to remember what he means to us personally. So without further ado, I know we have many, many speakers today. I wrote a poem. This is the first poem I've ever written in my life. And I had one, and as I reread it yesterday, I had one of those moments, those, what were you thinking? Anyway, I'm not a poet, you will soon discover. But I hope that Srila Prabhupada will at least appreciate, you know, there was a little bit of thought and hopefully a little bit of love that went into it. So, remembering Srila Prabhupada and our 50th anniversary of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, this is called After 50 Years. You left alone that day in Calcutta. There was no fanfare. There were no cheers. None could predict your mission success. Now in full bloom after 50 years. You came to a dark place in the world, filled with conflict, anxiety, and fears. Your message of truth brought peace and hope, enlightening the world for 50 years. Knowing Chaitanya's grand divine plan, through your faith, the holy name appears, reawakening our covered hearts as Krishna's name spreads for 50 years. You gave us bhakti, simple but sublime, devotional love that brings joy and tears. You taught with patience, firmness, and love, guiding your disciples for 50 years. Your teaching was clear, simple, and bold. It only required that we opened our ears. Hearing your words, it all became clear, increasing our faith for 50 years. Every town and village was the goal. Not content till the whole planet hears. You traveled the world planting the seeds that still bear fruit after 50 years. Your ISKCON movement is saving the world, even while Kali's nescience sneers. You captained the ship on a spiritual course as your mercy flows for 10,000 years.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Namate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithi Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Gacharana Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prashtakuru. Seems like every year there's a theme that emerges from these talks, and I listened to that voice and resisted writing the poem, although yours is really wonderful. Thank you, Tom Hoffman. But it sort of sets the mood, because what I did was I went to the poems of my dear friend and godbrother, Satyarupa Das Goswami, and I'd like to read a little poem that he wrote also. Actually, Vaishnava, one of the meanings of Vaishnava, Vaishnava is kavi or poet. And of course, we see this beautiful Vyasasan decoration here with a prominent feature of a book, giving knowledge in a very loving and poetically descriptive way is the Vaishnava kavi, Srila Prabhupada. And so these kavis, these poets, are very, very important in society, because they often articulate the feelings that we all have and find it hard to express ourselves. And of course, those feelings that the Vaishnava kavis present are the feelings of the spiritual world. And so we can take advantage of hearing the wonderful poetry, of course, Srila Prabhupada's wonderful Vyasa Puja offering he offered in the form of a poem to his spiritual master, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poems we often utilize to gain feeling about our entrapment in this material world and how the Vaishnavas come to deliver us. So they are very, very important in our lives, poets and poetry ourselves. So I think we shouldn't resist. We should do as Tama has, Prabhu has shown us, and express our feelings through poetry for the first time or for the 10,000th time. It will always benefit us in Krishna consciousness. So this is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stanza poem by Satyadas Goswami that expresses what I'm feeling today. It's called It's Been So Long, and it's from his book called Soul Eyes. It's been so long since I've seen my spiritual master. It's been so long since I've seen him smile. It's been so long since I've looked into his eyes and seen the soul of a saint. It's been so long since he's been here to correct us. It's been so long since he called my name. It's been so long since he lived among us, publishing his books, taking a morning walk, giving Bhagavatam talk. But we've got so much memories, orders, books, and videos, and his staunch disciples. It's been so long, but serving and separation is the next best thing. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Our next speaker is Adidev Prabhu. Adidev Prabhu, he wrote the offering for New Raman Reti for the temple. So, is he? And after Adidev Prabhu Mukhya, we'll give her a presentation.
I too wrote a poem. Mukhya back in April asked me to write something. Scared me to death. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinata Swamini Namami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachayana Nirvasesa Sarivati Pashta Chakrasa Tadam. Dear Srila Prabhupada, the following is an offering of love at your soft and nourishing lotus feet. You walked up the gangplank of the Jaladuta ship. In your heart, the Guru's order on a throne did sit. You radiated purity to all those around with books of Vedic knowledge and transcendental sound. Confirmed. The ship was bound for a far foreign shore to deliver a message to open the door. To the spiritual world, you've been asked to bring a revolution in consciousness to dance and sing. The journey was long, no luxury ride. You landed and set up quarters on the Lower East Side. Young seekers appeared through fogs of illusion. You fed them, taught them, gave an infusion of Chaitanya's mercy and Nitya's goodwill, tirelessly giving and giving to fill the heart, the hole in our hearts that is yearning for love, love everlasting from within and above. Krishna's name, form, and pastimes appeared from your teaching. You brought us all close, and to us were beseeching. Give this treasure of bhakti to all that will hear. Take up this practice, your karma will clear. Create temples and villages for all to come. In North Central Florida, that's what we have done. I came to the New Raman Reti community 14 years ago, and have watched it grow and prosper. Our outreach, our schools, our farming, our eco-village, our festivals, our classes, our gatherings, our young and older devotees, all are expansions of what you, Srila Prabhupada, dreamed and started 50 years ago. Your seeds of love have grown into a beautiful garden of bhakti. Our lordships, Sri Sri Radha Shamasundar, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, and Sri Sri Gauranatai, are worshipped with great enthusiasm every day. Radha Shamasundar attracted me on my first visit here and continued to bless all the devotees with their beauty and mercy. Srila Prabhupada, you knew nothing, we knew nothing of this culture of grace before you came. We couldn't have even imagined the philosophy, the festivals, the food, and the fun of spiritual life that you have allowed us to experience. The memories of Rathyatras, Harinams, plays, dances, cows, and japa walks through our gardens are gifts that you have bestowed upon us. And they create a fabric of connection among the devotees here. We can only thank you by continuing to serve you. We pray for your infusions of enthusiasm that will clarify our desires to dive deeper into this ocean of devotion that you have inspired here at New Ramanuti Dham. Your humble servants at New Ramanuti Dham, Alachua, Florida. Thank you. Thank you.
So next, Mr. Dev Dasi, and then after, Yadavar Prabhu.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your divine lotus feet. As my life hurries by and there are less years ahead of me than behind, I think more about history and being part of it. Certainly the past 50 years have been a momentous time in world history. Mundane advancements, social and cultural revolutions have been many. But for me, being part of the spiritual revolution that realized Lord Chaitanya's declaration, Krishna consciousness will be spread to every town and village of the world, is thrilling and humbling beyond my ability to express. Just being on this planet while you were enacting the Lord's prediction and having a minuscule part in it fills me with exponential amazement and gratitude as the years go by. You are so multifaceted, relating to each devotee uniquely, yet singly focused at the same time. Your books, your books, your books. All meaningful knowledge is there for all people for all time. The more we read them and reread them, and the deeper we go in the same philosophy you taught from day one, there is no limit. It has been said that your purports, you call them illuminations to the spiritual world, or a guide for the Kali Yuga reader, because you understood that the Vedic knowledge could not really be grasped even if translated into one's native language. So your purports are the actual Vedic wisdom for Kali Yuga. That is the meaning of as it is, your weapons of mass instruction. There are many books out now written by many of your disciples and grand disciples, but with limited reading time, I've set my focus on your books and books about you. The written and spoken memories about you and the visual capture of your speaking and traveling is a fantastic way to know you and love you more and more. I pray that every devotee, older and newer, makes your life's example part of a serious study. It inspires us to carry on, to do as you would do, to think of you and please you. That is how we can actually render service to Krishna. That is how we stay tight to your lotus feet. And it is the only way to get through this thick, sticky fog of material attachments. So here's to the next 50 years of pushing on your Krishna consciousness movement. May it be a time of spreading your glories and unique position in the Guru Parampara. May you help all of your disciples and grand disciples and all sincere followers yet to come to purify our desires, keeping the focus on pleasing you and assisting you and following your instructions. Srila Prabhupada, jai.
After Yadavar, Vishakha.
This is an offering that I wrote on behalf of myself and Vishakha Devi for another Vyasa Puja book. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to you always, and especially on this, your transcendental appearance today. Where did our good fortune come from that gave us service to you? How is it that somehow we were in the right place at the right time to meet you? How is it that although we have no qualification, you engage us, giving us hope that someday we will become true devotees? It must be the combination of the inconceivable arrangement of your dear Lord Krishna and your unbounded mercy, following in the footsteps of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. As when we first met you, still we have no qualification, struggling daily to ignore ever-present material desires. Please give us the strength to continue until your promise becomes a reality and our Lords allow us entrance into their transcendental abode. Now we are ineptly trying to glorify you, Srila Prabhupada, through the Acharya movie. Our goal and strong desire is that millions of unfortunate souls who have yet to know your glories, see your form, hear your words, understand your struggle, your mission, and your life story. We know that any one of these, your potent expansions, has the ability to change the hearts and minds of millions, thus beginning their journey back to the spiritual world. Please bless our efforts to the Prabhupada so that this desire becomes a greater reality than we can imagine. With our heads at your lotus feet, your servants, Yadavar Das and Vishakadasa. To the Prabhupada,
Vishaka, and after Vishaka, the younger Prabhu.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vinaya Krishna Bhutale Namaste Saraswati Devi So I wanted to just relate what has recently become my favorite Prabhupada story. That there were some very expert devotees in Sankirtan, the distribution, and they thought they would travel to different temples and train up devotees how to distribute books. What lines to say to stop the people, what lines to say to have them bring out their wallets and give them money and something. So they approached Prabhupada and they were expressing their desire. And Prabhupada told them, just teach the devotees how to be sincere. And then Krishna, from within their hearts, they will give the devotee instruction what to say so that the people are inspired to take a book. And then he said, every person is his own genius. So I was very amazed by this and inspired that part of cooperating together, if we can find the genius within each of us and allow that person to be in a situation where that genius blossoms, and then we cooperate with each other's geniuses, what a beautiful fulfilling society it will have, even more beautiful than fulfilling than it is today.
Hare Krishna. Just before Divyanga comes on, we have a little segment that I prepared for today, and it's called Tales from the Vault. And so one of the tales is, Yadavar and Vishaka are our wonderful filmmakers, and they've come into contact with a lot of other filmmakers who made films of Srila Prabhupada, one of which was a filmmaker named Bob Giorgio. And his story was kind of interesting, of how he was the filmmaker who filmed the Hippie Hill film. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it is there. And so Bob Giorgio, we have a transcript of his interview for the Leelamrita, which was done in the archives, in the vault. And Bob Giorgio was traveling into San Francisco one day over the Bay Bridge, and he was filming as he went along, and he was going to Golden Gate Park to film nature He wanted to film flowers and birds, and he was sort of Buddhistic kind of person, and so at the time. And so when he arrived in Golden Gate Park, he saw this phenomenon going on of all these people chanting Hare Krishna, and he said it looked to him like a whirlpool. And you know, whirlpools, water comes into the whirlpool, and then water goes out of the whirlpool, you know. And so he saw people coming into this whirlpool of chanting, and then leaving the whirlpool in gradually ways. So he's very intrigued by this, and he filmed this, and he wanted to know who was actually the person who thought of this kind of thing. And so he asked the devotees, and the devotees said, well, actually, the Swami is there. You can, he said, I'd like to see him, I'd like to interview him. And so they said, yeah, sure, come along. So he went to the apartment, and the thing that amazed him was he was led into Prabhupada's apartment, and what surprised him, there was nothing there. No furniture, nothing. Just Prabhupada sitting behind the little trunk. You know, that was it. And that this person was creating this amazing thing going on in the park, you know, simply out of his shakti. So I thought that was a nice story from the vault. More to come. Thank you. Divyanga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhus, oh fortunate devotees. This is an expression of love, and I want to just talk a little bit about love and gratitude. When you see, I've been here 20 years in this temple, and it's always amazing on festivals what the devotees do and how they come up with, that book is amazing. That book is really amazing. But I'm still thinking about the swing. And when I was in the back, and I saw it, and I looked and said, kind of looks like they're swinging, couldn't be, you know. And then when I finally got up to the front and I saw it and I took pictures and looked, and then they asked the Bhujaris about it. It's amazing. What a phenomenon. This is love. Devotees they do all kinds of things with their hearts for Prabhupada, and you just never know what they're going to do next. As far as compassion and causeless mercy goes, Srila Prabhupada came, and he gave us everything. I mean, he gave us Krishna, he gave us the holy name, he gave us Gita, he gave us Bhagavatam, he gave us ghee, curd, names, yajnas, chutney. We didn't have anything. I thought I was really advanced as a vegetarian when I was a kid. And then when I met the devotees, I learned how to eat and how to cook. I was a cook, but we didn't know how to eat. We didn't know what to use. But anyway, I just want to say this. From the Muktavali, a person who is obedient, truthful, good character, intelligent, free from pride, faithful, and kind-hearted is qualified to receive mantra diksha. On the other hand, the Augusta Sanghita says, one who is lazy, roguish, arrogant, miserly, malicious, proud, egoistic, pesky, cruel, ill-behaved and disobedient and attached to material enjoyment should never be given mantra diksha. So you immediately get the idea that Prabhupada went out on a limb with guys like me and said, sure, come on in. If you'll just don't do this and do this, I will give you diksha. Now, this is from purport, Chaitanya Charitamrita. The spiritual master initiates the disciple to deliver him. And if the disciple executes the orders and does not offend the other Vaishnavas, then his path is clear. So Prabhupada came and he took unqualified wretches like me and he gave us diksha. And all he said was, try to be nice to your God brothers. It sounds easier than it is. I mean, I love all of you. This is my family. I love every one of you. I don't think I'd want to live with you, but I love all of you. And I believe that if we work together for Prabhupada's mission, that we can all get in on this
super special mercy of the Golden Kali Yuga. Not only is it the Golden Kali Yuga, but Prabhupada's more merciful than the Lord himself. Listen to this. Now, this is amazing. I got this from Mahanidhi Swami. Where'd it go? You got to hear this. This is worth reading. Oh. Shastric tradition prohibits giving Brahma Gayatri to women, some acharyas claim. And chanting Brahma Gayatri softens the hearts of men, opposite effect with women. A woman's heart, which is soft, will become hard by chanting Brahma Gayatri. But seeing everyone in the West had hard hearts, Prabhupada gave both to men and women so they could soften their hearts and then offer their tender love to Sri Sri Kishore Kishori. And this is what we see here. This is a whole bunch of jivas got together and they offered some love, and this is what happens. It's beyond belief. And I was sending these pictures to my family last night just saying, look at this, you can't believe this. And my sister's like, wow, what's going on? Those are marble deities. Now they're swinging at a swing. Now that swing, you ever seen a swing like that? That's my kind of swing. Anyway, so Prabhupada says, this is from a lecture. He says, universal love. People are talking about unity and universal love. The Prabhupada's take on that is, if you love Krishna, then your universal love is counted. Otherwise, it's nonsense. You cannot love. The cow is American. My brother is American. My brother is good. The cow is food. This is your universal love. A Krishna conscious person sees, oh, here's a cow, here's a dog. They're part and parcel with Krishna. Some way or other, he is a different body. But that does not mean that he's not my brother. So how can I kill my brother? That is Krishna love. So Krishna love is so nice, all perfection. If there is no Krishna love, there is no question of love. It is all nonsense. So, also, this is one last thing. Prabhupada said, anyone who has a slight tendency to become a devotee should be given the chance. And right after that, he said, the press is not only the heart of the society, but the press is my heart. And when I went to pay my phone bill, I walked in to pay the bill, and I do as I always do. I handed the lady at the desk a book, and she grabbed the book and said, oh, Hare Krishna, I got one of these in St. Louis Airport back in 1995 or whatever it was. And she said, I had to go out there to drop my brother off at Fort Leonard Wood, which was, me and Vice used to sell a lot of books for those guys in St. Louis. So I immediately sent the picture to Vice, and I thought, this is what happens. I thought when I go in to pay this bill, I'm going to bring a book and I'm going to give it to whoever's taking the bill. And I gave it to him, and she already had a book, and she was so happy to get another one. So I gave her the card and said, come out and meet Prashad. Thank you, Prabhus. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So next is Nandini Kishore. She's done wonders with the EDA program for motels, and it's a wonderful service. After her will be Vamana Puru.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Drishtaya Bhutale Srimati Radhanath Swami Iti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Drishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharana Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Desha Karana. Dear Srila Prabhupada, we have no qualifications to know Krishna, but we have qualifications. I hope we have qualifications to know you. Your instruction is, to us is that we cooperate and we act with in unity. So I'm very happy to let you know that in this Motel Gita project, all the 50 states and many other countries are cooperating. We have distributed in the last 5 years under the Motel Gita name, we have distributed at least 300,000 Bhagavad Gitas. this year in Cincinnati, Ohio, just 2-3 months ago. I was fortunate enough to go and visit for this convention, and we got 800 Gitas co-sponsored for the first time. So if you know these motelers, it's not easy for them to put the books. They get Bible for free, and usually motels run, many motels, they don't run on any margin. The motel owner will be working for like $8 per hour, 24/7, even if that much. So it was very happily a pleasant surprise that 800 Gitas got co-sponsored. Before that, in March, we got about 10,000 Bhagavad Gita orders. So you can see that your fame and glories are spreading throughout. And we asked Vaisheshika Prabhu, and he gave your instructions. It's okay if they don't read. It's okay sometimes they may not respect Bhagavad Gita, but just by touching, having darshan, just having that Bhagavad Gita in that room, they will make advancements. And there are millions of motelers, people passing through these motels. So we are so grateful for you to inspiring us to do this service, cooperating with each other. It's not easy. There can be so much miscommunication across the people. And recently, one of the motel owners also placed Srimad Bhagavatam set in Gujarati. Another retreat owner in California also placed a Srimad Bhagavatam set inside on the firm display. So they're also starting to get the full sets now. On a separate note, I also would like to offer you sincerest gratitude for making this the journey within book, my Guru Maharaj's book, the New York Times bestseller. When it came in the mainstream media like that, hundreds and hundreds of prominent people got to read it, and it really explains your philosophy in a layman terms and farmer stories. And I was extremely fortunate, along with many devotees, to help in this project. And I see so many of Prabhupada disciples who are writing books now. And I would really aspire to serve them, to make their books bestsellers, and grateful to get to do some other services in my devotional life. All the devotees of Prabhupada who are non-different than desires, but you know, who can fulfill so many of desires, please bless me that I can serve you in this way. And I'm really grateful to be here. Mancha Kalpatarati Asha Kriyata Singhadi Evacha Patitanam Paranadhyo Vaishnata Namanama.
After that, Shikata. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Without your presence in my life, I would be lost, without hope and without true love. You are the beacon of light and truth that shines through the fog of my consciousness and gently leads me on the often difficult path of true spiritual life. It is the memory of your kindness and selfless service that keeps me inspired to continue trying to further your divine mission. You have enormous compassion for the suffering living entities, and have shown this by your endless efforts to preach Krishna consciousness by your every word and deed. I pledge to renew my efforts to read and study your transcendental books. They are the life and soul of your movement and the most perfect way to feel your love and connection. I fall at your feet and beg forgiveness for my many shortcomings. May your mercy alone, actually by your mercy alone, will I be able to avoid the many pitfalls on the path back home, back to Godhead. With all the humility at my command, I beg to be allowed to remain your servant, Vamandeva. Hare Krishna.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, on this 50th anniversary, in this deep, dark, doleful, desolate, dreary, dull, dreadful desert life, we were suffocating, starving, dying, our souls withering in dire peril, living in a world where science is supreme and atheism and personalism and voidism the predominant view. What was the hope? We firmly believe we were these bodies, entrenched in fluid mentality. We struggled helplessly trying to enjoy, trying to survive as we implicated ourselves deeper and deeper in the karmic web. Even those who desired to perform pious activity became bewildered. We speculated endlessly on possible solutions to our plight. Our world, filled with fogs, cogs, camels, and asses, offered only the promise of sense gratification as a reward for our efforts. Slipping, stumbling, falling farther and farther away from the truth, Kali was having her way. To the undiscerning eye, Kali appeared strong and invincible. That is, she had her way until you descended, Srila Prabhupada, armed with Shraddha, a firm, unwavering faith in Krishna and Guru. On the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, you piously executed the mission of Bhakti. You employed your secret weapons, your book, the Shrine, and the holy name. Chakshudana Dhyaje. You opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. In the nectar of devotion, it says that just as the slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of night, so a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away all of its ignorance, all the darkness of ignorance that arises in the heart through the greatly sinful activities performed in the previous lives. As the living entities hear the holy name, their liberation begins. And as you let us know in Chaitanya Charitamrita, not only the moving living energies here, the echo, what we conceive as an echo, from the loud sankirtan, is a kirtan of the non-moving living energies. Your compassion has inundated the world. You opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. You flooded the world with goodness, beauty, and life, as if the world slept for eons and all matter within it lie dormant. Suddenly, in your divine presence, everything awoke magically, and personality appeared everywhere. You introduced us to the personality behind the sun, Surya, the moon, Chandra, personality behind the rivers, Ganga and Yamuna Devi, the mountains, fire, clouds, and trees. The world exploded, blossoming before our eyes, sparkling, glistening with personality and soul. Most importantly, you introduced us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Just like you gave Arjuna divine eyes to see the universal form, our eyes became anointed with the salve of love of God through your mercy. You adopted us, made us a part of your family, and showed us the world since Krishna, our father. It's hard to believe our good fortune with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, our grandfather, and Srila Bhaktivinoda, our great grandfather. Through the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the association of Prahlad Maharaj, Queen Kunti, King Kulakshetra, such incredible personalities that we learn from daily.
You let us know that there was no hope for enjoyment on the path we were traveling. Just like water is wet, you explain, and it's impossible to take wetness from water. The material world is miserable, and it's impossible to take the misery away by any material adjustment. You elaborate. Some of the living entities are relatively happy in a better condition of life, whereas others are in distressed conditions of life. But factually, none of them are actually happy in this material condition of life. No one can be happy in prison life, although one may be a first-class prisoner and another a third-class prisoner. You gave us the keys to the prison, a means to escape. We began our escape from Kali's mayhem. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn that Lord Chaitanya delivered most of the fallen souls just by meeting them. He delivered others by entering into great, the bodies of great devotees and empowering them. Lord Chaitanya entered the body of great devotees so he could empower them to spread the message of love of God everywhere. Lord Chaitanya entered the body of a great devotee, Nakula Brahmachari. Nakula advised whoever he met to chant the holy name, Hare Krishna. Thus upon seeing him, people were overwhelmed with love of Godhead. You have invested your potency in many of your saintly or saintly-ish devotees. Imbued with your potency, your soldiers are able to continue executing your mission. Prasadam is performing its duty by purifying those who may not be able to receive mercy in any other way. Donuts, samosas, seemingly innocent, delicious morsels, travel as secret agents, prepared to destroy the demonic mentality and allow the tasters to begin the process of bhakti. Kirtans and Harinams abound, spreading the holy name everywhere. The mantra can be heard around the world and is often hidden in pop songs, newspapers, and magazines, and when you least expect it, your path back to God has begun. Devotees are disguised as teachers, nurses, doctors, hospice workers, authors, poets, farmers, policemen. They're in the office behind the desk, poised and ready to give the mercy. When I see the sincerity and determination of the devotees, old and new, I can see that Kali has her work cut out for her. Look out, Kali. Srila Prabhupada's desire to liberate the world will not go in vain. Srila Prabhupada, you told us we could turn back the tide of Kali Yuga with these secret weapons. We pray that we can become empowered, like Nikula Das Brahmachari, distributing books, Prasadam, and the holy name, fighting Kali's influence until our last breath. Hare Krishna.
So Shankar Prabhu and then Ananda Manjari.
Okay, I was told to tell my first instruction from Srila Prabhupada and how I went to India in 1974. Okay, in 73, I went to Laguna Beach Temple, and Swat Brahmana was in the temple, and I walked up to him and said, I am now surrendering completely to Krishna and Prabhupada. He said, very good, now go wash pots. So I washed pots for 3 months. And then we heard, I got initiated, and then we heard that Prabhupada was coming to Los Angeles. So in Laguna Beach, we used to go to this organic farm, and we used to get organic produce for the temple. So I figured I'd get a whole box of these organic vegetables for Prabhupada. So I gathered a whole box of different kinds of organic vegetables, a big box for Prabhupada. So I was kneeling, I know the government's in the LA temple, I was kneeling when Prabhupada pulled up. I was kneeling down with this big box of vegetables in front of me. And Swat Damodar was behind me. He's my friend. I haven't looked at his book he was doing. Anyways, Prabhupada pulls up. He opens the door and he gets out of the car and he stands and looks down at me. And I look up at him and I say, Prabhupada, please accept these vegetables. Then Swat Damodar, out of the blue, says, this boy has grown all these vegetables. So Prabhupada paused for a moment. And he looked at me, and then he pointed his finger and said, you must go to Mayapur and make gardens. So I went traveling all over California doing traveling Sankirtan, selling records, anything I could do to get money. Anyways, I finally got enough money to go to India. So I got to New York. And as soon as I got to New York Temple, I went to Bobby Mardana and said, I'm ready to go to India. He says, no, you're not. Only special people have been invited to this go to India. You're not invited. So I said, Prabhupada told me to go, so I'm going. So I went down, I got my visa, I got a plane ticket on the same plane they were on everything. So we got on the plane heading for the 74 Mayapur Festival. They wouldn't even give me prasadam on the plane. They didn't want me to go. They wouldn't even have these beautiful samosas. They wouldn't even give me it. Anyways, we got to the Mayapur Festival. It was such a wonderful festival. And it was this Bengali eggplant sabji that was served out to everybody. And it was so good. I mean, everybody ate it. Everybody ate it. Unfortunately, they put it in stool buckets that weren't cleaned, and everybody had dysentery. The whole complex. So I remember I was on the balcony, and Bhavananda comes walking up to me, and he says, so you're the gardener. I said, yes. He says, well, all this land is for you to grow. And then I said, well, I don't know how to grow anything. And he, oh, no. So him, Tamal Krishna, when did she share Prabhupada? And the three of them were figuring out what to do with me. Here I am, I just come to India, you know, young guy, you know, crazy. And then Bob Rana came back to me and said, well, Prabhupada wants you to go to Bombay. So I went to Bombay. And that was my first instruction into Prabhupada when I got to India. Is there anybody want me to hear? I'll tell one more story. Anybody want to? I don't know. All the new ones I can't tell them. Okay, I'll tell one more. Couple more. No, I just tell old ones that I had. Like the orange. Well, I'll do the samosa one. That's for people thinking it's nice to make samosas. So this is a proper instruction on how to make samosas. I was in 74. And Paramahansa Swami came up to me and said, Srila Prabhupada would like you to make some samosas. I was like, wow, I was so excited. I'm going to make samosas for Srila Prabhupada. So I had this recipe for 5 vegetable Gujarati samosas. I made this beautiful filling. I rolled out these flurries that were this big, and I filled them halfway and rolled them over, and made samosas that were this big. I made 32 of them and sent them up to Srila Prabhupada. 3 days later, Brahmananda was walking out. And I walked up to Brahmananda Swami and said, did Prabhupada like the samosas? He said, no, Prabhupada didn't even touch them. I was bewildered. So anyway, a couple of days later, Hari K, she was a brahmachari, and came up to me and said, how would you like to cook Prabhupada's lunch with me? Oh, why not get the cook Prabhupada's lunch? Oh, this is far out. So I went up there to Prabhupada's kitchen, and this Indian cook had already been there earlier, and he had made all this feast for Prabhupada's VIPs that were coming to eat with him. And he had made these samosas, but they were, you know, like, real small. Anyway, so me and Hari Kesh were cooking in there, having a good old time, and then Prabhupada walked into the kitchen. And then Prabhupada looked at me, and he looked at the samosas that were on there on the fire, and he said, did you make these samosas? I said, oh, no, Sri Prabhupada. This Indian guy had come, and he had made them earlier. And he said, you know, you don't know how to make samosas. You don't know how to make footballs. And then he said, you know, you two are expert in messing everything up. And he smiled and walked out of the kitchen, and then I served them as lunch. The first thing I did was take the steamed bitter melon and mash it and mix it with the rice, and then I ate that, and then I bring them to the party. I cooked for them twice like that. The next day I did it again. Anyways, I can tell another one. All right, this is the last one. Those are all wrong. Okay, here's a good one. Ekanath told me this past time. When I was in Bombay, I used to grow flowers all over the place there. I used to make garlands for Talpai every day he came and give him flowers. So anyways, I made this garland for him. I was really tight on flowers. And I came to Guru Puja, and I put it on Peter Talpai's head, and it didn't go beyond here. Mad, it felt like Julius Caesar was in there with the garland on his head. And the surprising thing is, he wore it through the whole Guru Puja.
And after that, Adi Karja Prabhu after Nandamanjari.
Jai Shiva Prabhupada. I was reflecting on my relationship with Shiva Prabhupada, and it brought me back to some memories that when I was very young, I had asked my father, what about people who don't get to hear about the Bible or Jesus? What happens with them? How do they find out about God? And he wasn't really sure how to answer, but he said, God will find a way somehow to reach them. And even without knowing Srila Prabhupada, I'm reflecting on how he had influenced my life at a very early age. I had told this story before, but the same month and the same year that Srila Prabhupada had landed in Boston, which I had no understanding or knowledge of, of course, at the time, I was about 12, and I was in Boston, I lived there, and I'm walking down the street with my friend, and we were just changing schools. It was just the beginning of the year in September, the same month that Prabhupada had come, and I remember she said to me, what are you going to do at this new school? And we were talking in a very childish manner of what we're going to do, like have fun. But anyway, thank you. So we were talking in a childish way, like, what are we going to do to have fun? And somehow or other, when she asked me that, I went deep inside myself, and I remember turning around and seeing like the trees and the breeze, and I just felt something overwhelming, and I thought, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought, I have to find the absolute truth. I have to find God. That's what I have to do. And of course, I didn't say that. I said, I don't know. What are you going to do? You know, whatever. I don't know. What are you going to do? So we went back and forth. But that memory had stuck with me. And that was around the same time Prabhupada had spoken that wonderful prayer. How will I affect the world? So he's working directly with spiritual the spiritual world and Krishna and Chaitanya Guru and Super Soul. So that's one influence. A little later after that, about a year or two later, I was with some friends and one of them said, I'm a vegetarian. And I said, what's that? He said, I don't eat any meat because I don't want to hurt the animals. And I said, yeah, me too. You can do that? And he said, yeah, you can live like that and you'll be healthy. And I went, oh, well, that's what I am. And so from that moment, I was dedicated to that, and that same person a few days later handed me Prabhupada's Gita, the purple edition, the little paperback purple edition. He said, I think you're going to like this. And I looked through it, and it was very hard for me to read. I was only like 14 then, and the words could have shaked her and Arjuna kind of lost me, and then I saw it's a battlefield. So I just made myself read a few verses. And then I thought, I'm sure it's very nice, but I don't get it, and I'm not interested in battlefield. So I put the book down, but I did catch Prabhupada's book and read it. So that was another influence in my life. Later on, I heard chanting in the street in Boston Commons, and so I started chanting on my own. The whole mantra just stuck in my head, and I couldn't stop chanting, hardly. And I knew it was a big influence, but I had no idea what it was. And one day I thought, I don't even know the meaning of this. Why am I singing this? Sometimes I'd forget the words and I'd start just chanting japa. like Hare Krishna, because the tune doesn't matter if something is happening with these words. But I was a little afraid also, so I thought, is it good or is it bad? Is it going to lead me towards God? So finally I waited until I saw, got my hands on a reservoir of pleasure, and I thought, now I have to find out what is the meaning of this. So in that one paragraph that I read, Srila Prabhupada was saying that this life is like a dream. Everything you're doing is just a dream. The Hare Krishna mantra, I just opened it up and I found the answer right there. So that the Hare Krishna mantra is saying, wake up soul, wake up to your divine self, to your real life. And I thought, oh, so that's what's happening. I'm waking up. Okay, this is what I want. This is a good thing. It's going to lead me towards God. Waking up to a higher consciousness. So then I saw his picture in the front, and he was wearing one of those American white turtleneck jerseys, and he had his hand near a tree, and he had a big, huge smile on his face, and I thought, right away, I thought, he has the knowledge that I need to learn. So this is where I'm putting my interest now. And our heart, Prabhupada, has been connected for 46 years now. And you have all the rasas. You understand all the rasas and all the different levels and stages and moods of bhakti yoga. And you have given us enough of that in your books, of understanding the relationship with God in every aspect. You describe that eloquently, and enough of it for all of us to understand everything about all the moods, rasas, and levels of bhakti yoga. What I have imbibed from you, my gift, that you, the gift that you gave me in my relationship with you, is that you are my ever well-wisher. And out of my gratitude, I want to be a well-wisher of others, of everyone, and share your bhakti and Vedanta that you have given us. And I'm always grateful for being able to do that in some way. I pray to all the Vaishnavas that I can do this. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. I want to share the love. Thank you.
And after Adiparta Satyaki.
Try not to touch the mic, but it's better if you move towards the mic rather than move the mic to you. Thank you. It's delicate. It's missed on tradition. So the mic stand never works.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to your divine lotus feet. Once again, I thank you with all the sincerity I can muster for appearing in this dreadful place to deliver Lord Krishna's beautiful and timeless message to the hapless souls of Kali Yuga. I know I am extremely fortunate to have somehow or other been guided to your lotus feet. We were all in the blazing forest fire of material existence, and by the rain cloud of your mercy, you extinguished the fire. Now our duty is to spread your mercy to as many souls as possible. I truly lament that my potency is so limited. I am in complete awe of some of your disciples' ability to transmit your message to others. All I can hope is that at some future stage I will be blessed with your ability to achieve more. My feelings towards you are similar to the feelings of Uddhava, who was Lord Krishna expressed in the following beautiful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who then could dare reject you, the very soul, the most dear object of worship, and the Supreme Lord of all, you who give all possible protections to the devotees who take shelter of you? Who could be so ungrateful knowing the benefits you bestow? Who would reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which simply leads to forgetfulness of you? And what lack is there for us who engage in the service of the dust of your lotus feet? Anyone who accepts you as a direct representative of Krishna is indeed very unfortunate. And to forsake your service seems to be directly pushing disaster. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita that you so kindly presented to your friends,
There is a statement that just as Lord Shiva instructed Parvati, her worship of the devotee is greater than worship of the Lord himself. That worship of the devotee is situated in Vatsalya Ras is higher than worship of the devotee in Sakya Ras, and worship of the devotee in Madhurya is higher than that in Vatsalya. Therefore, without speculating on your particular relationship with the Lord, it seems appropriate that whatever your position, you deserve the greatest worship. Another verse I find very encouraging, as it explains my good fortune in associating with a pure devotee like you, is spoken by Dhruva Maharaj, and shows the amazing benefit of those that are blessed with your presence in their life. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.12. O Lord, who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after the lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, he is never attached to the material world or in a bodily relationship to offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife, which are very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. So that is the amazing potency of your association. I am sure that you are depicting your good self as one who is hankering after the Lord's lotus feet. Just because